Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Focus, Focus Energy Drink, Focus Sparkling Water with a Spark Drink, Focus, PHOCUS.com. It is a Titans Monday, 1025. The game's Preds Game Day broadcast brought to you by Hermitage Design Center, the professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens, and baths on the web at GoHermitage.com. Great weekend. Great Floyd Tribute Friday. I was at a wedding that apparently Shaq was at randomly. I was in the wedding. Shaq was just there. I turned around and I saw Shaq and I'm like, that's Shaq.
I mean, I could start struck just hearing about it.
Oh my God, Shaq.
I would lose all inhibitions if I saw Shaq.
I mean, we're standing up there like the bride and groom are walking down the aisle. Congrats to Rachel and Mike, by the way.
Congrats to Rachel and Mike.
The bride and groom are walking down and like Shaq sneaks in the very back and Shaq is hanging out there. And I turn over to one of my buddies who's a groomsman behind me and I turn over and I go, did you see Shaq? And he's like, oh my God, it's Shaq.
That's like one person, you see them and you know exactly who it is.
Dude, I felt bad for Shaq because every single person after the wedding was talking about Shaq. And it's like, Shaq doesn't want, you know, to be, it's your
day.
But
he's Shaq.
But Shaq was there. So Shaq was in Nashville over the weekend at this wedding that I was in. And
did you talk to him?
No, I did not. Mm. I had to take the pictures after the wedding. Didn't have time. The big Aristotle, he snuck out the side, and then we thought he was going to be at the reception, and then Shaq wasn't at the reception.
Oh, so. And Shaq probably would have boogied down on the dance floor at the reception.
Well, so like we had like a, you know, like there was a break between the reception and the ceremony, and we were all together, you know, not all all the main players at this wedding that were in it were all together, and I was thinking maybe Shaq was going to come by and be like, hey, I'm not going to go to the ceremony, but it was good to see you guys, you know, whatever.
Kind of a good
but
Shaq impression there.
We didn't see Shaq.
Oh,
back to the Titans. So, and then a terrible game on Sunday.
Terrible. Just gross.
I'm going to say this. Great induction at halftime, which I absolutely loved and did, you know, shed a couple tears. But is Vrabel getting enough blame? We've sat up here for 2 hours and blamed Tannehill. And I think fairly blame Tannehill. But what about Vrabel? And I got a handful of things about Vrabel that are bothering me.
Okay.
The first is those boys weren't ready to play Sunday. And there is something about him where he can get them up. They could play the All-Stars. And I'd feel better about that than playing the worst team in the NFL. Just because he cannot. This is not a one-time thing with Vrabel. He cannot get them up to play the bad boys. And I don't know why. So that's the first thing that bothers me. The second thing that bothers me, the delay of game before halftime. I think this is equally, like Vrabel and Tannehill are co-defendants here. Like you screwed up by taking an intentional grounding or at least getting it close enough that it could have been an intentional grounding and essentially gave away 3 points. And what were you thinking, coach? By running them back out there with 9 seconds and no timeouts. 9 seconds, no timeouts, no wide receivers. What were we thinking here? I don't know. You know, like, what was the plan here? Then, on the touchdown that they scored, and I was, you know, obviously, I want to say, like, I was preoccupied during the Titan game. But I'm watching the Titan game, and we're up there in the, you know, with the Reese family, and we're really just having a good time.
Good.
And we're watching the game, and so I'm not watching the game like I normally watch it, like when I'm sitting at home and I can think of it. But I'm sitting there. They score a touchdown to get themselves back in the game where you know the Texans aren't very good, and you know it's only 12-0, and you know at 12-0, hey, you can get back in this game with one play. Now it's 19-0, and it's like, okay, you need 2 touchdowns in the next 3 drives. And they get the first touchdown to make it 19-6. But I'm thinking to myself, don't you go for 2 here?
That's what I thought.
Don't you? Because it's 16 plus 3. Mm-hmm. So it's a 3-possession game.
Yes.
But you don't need 3 touchdowns technically. But even if you get the third touchdown, if you go for 2 and you don't get it, then you still need the third touchdown, which would cover for the fact that you didn't get the 2-point conversion. And Vrabel didn't go for 2. And I don't know why Vrabel didn't go for 2. You got to go for 2. Then you got to hope your defense can get you the ball back. Then you got to go for 2 again. In Super Bowl 34, the Titans were down 16-0. They scored a touchdown. They went for two. They didn't get it. That was the right decision, to go for two, even though they didn't get it. So Vrabel doesn't go for two. Now we got all these Des Fitzpatrick issues where, you know, TD's calling in saying Fitzpatrick didn't do this right, and Chris is saying Fitzpatrick didn't do that right. And it's like, how is Mike Vrabel putting a guy out there that doesn't know what to do? The guy's been here the whole time. He doesn't know what to do, and now they're putting him in a game. Isn't that on the coach?
But I go back to, what else are you working with?
No. I'm not asking Des Fitzpatrick to be a great player. I'm not asking to make a one-handed catch. I'm asking you to run the right route. And if you can't run the right route in the NFL,
the most elementary thing that you can possibly ask Des Fitzpatrick to do.
There are wide receivers on other teams' practice squads that you can bring in today that can run the right route. They may not be able to catch it. They may not run it fast enough. But they can at least run the right route. If you say, hey, run this route, run it 12 yards, there's a guy out there that can do it. So if Des Fitzpatrick is this much out of touch, what is the coaching staff doing putting him in the game? And that's a decision that's got to be made when you know, okay, Julio's going to be out. Josh Reynolds isn't here anymore. I don't know who the other receivers that were out were or whatever, but you got to say,
Marcus Johnson.
This is before they got hurt, like going into the game. Mm-hmm. And you got to say, look, we can't carry this guy in the active roster. We got to carry somebody else. So, I mean, again, Tannehill's been getting crushed today. I'm not the only person doing it. I'm probably doing it the hardest because my expectations are really high. And the standards that you all talk about when you call this show, I don't ever hear anybody talking about goals of getting to the divisional round of the playoffs. I have never heard that this season from a caller. I remember in 2017 when everybody just wanted to make the playoffs, what that was like. Because the Titans hadn't made the playoffs since 2008, and everybody just wanted to make the playoffs. And that was all we talked about, was making the playoffs. And I don't hear calls that say, hey, Jared, if the Titans can just go out there and win the division, and if they can go win the division and then maybe get one home playoff game, what do you think? Nobody says that because the expectations are higher. Well, if the expectations are higher, then that means that the quarterback has to play better. And so we've crushed Tannehill, but not a lot of Vrabel crushing today. Joe Rexroth wrote a column in The Athletic where I have to commend Joe because I do feel like Joe kind of ripped Vrabel's rear end, and I thought it was kind of fair. Are we not giving enough blame to Vrabel?
I mean, I think there were definitely some questionable decisions. I mean, the intentional grounding was just so dumb. And at the end of the game, the 3 points wouldn't have made a difference. But you don't know what it does to momentum. You don't know if it could have made a difference in the long run.
Does it make a difference if you're down 16, you score the touchdown, and then you're deciding whether or not to go for two?
That's the thing, is you put yourself in a completely different position.
I mean, I said on Friday that in order for the Texans to win, you had to turn it over twice and have a third play that was like a turnover. It's pretty much like a turnover. You're about to kick a field goal. I just don't see. Here's where I get on Vrabel.
You leave, 9 seconds on the board?
Here's where I get on Vrabel for that. What did you think was going to happen? Like, what good could happen? 9 seconds, no timeouts. What did you think was going to happen? I mean, did you think that you were going to? The ball was sitting at the Houston 24. First and five from the 24 with no timeouts. Did you think with this offensive line and the way they've been pass blocking that Ryan Tannehill was going to have enough time for backup wide receivers to run 24 yards down the field, throw the ball into the end zone, have one of those backup wide receivers catch the ball for a touchdown or get interfered with, in which the refs almost never throw the flag, and if the ball was incomplete, there'd be time left on the clock for you to kick a field goal? Did Vrabel think that? You're at the 24-yard line. You're looking at a 42-yard kick. I get it. Randy doesn't have the strongest leg in the world. There were a lot of conditions, but it's a 42-yard kick.
At least try it. If he misses it.
Like, what did Vrabel think was going to happen with 9 seconds? If you wanted to go out there with 9 seconds and a timeout left, and you wanted to throw that ball, I still think it's kind of dumb, because if a ball gets batted up into the air as you're throwing it into the end zone, the likelihood that you throw the ball as an interception is infinitely higher than you scoring a touchdown. The odds of you getting sacked are higher than the odds of you throwing a touchdown. Like, what was Vrabel thinking? And I'm with you. I think that's a big part of the game. It is 12-0. You make it 12-3.
That's a different ballgame.
12-3.
That's a two-possession game
right there. All you got to do is tell the defense. You're playing the Texans. All you have to do is tell your defense, go out there, get a stop, get the offense the ball, let's go. So I'm not blaming Vrabel for the Chester Rogers complete and utter screw-up on the punt, which
that
was
just
awful.
And
I'm not
mistake.
Blaming Vrabel for Tannehill's interceptions, which everybody else seems to want to not blame Tannehill. But, I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I think Vrabel is getting a free pass today, and I don't think Vrabel should.
And the not going for two was a questionable decision.
And we haven't even harped on the biggest thing, which, again, we haven't, you know, dug deep, which is, why can't these boys get up for a game like this? They were not mentally ready for that game. And I was in the stadium, and I felt it. Like, right after, I think the first drive, when Houston moved the ball effectively, I thought, oh, God. I want to say it was, let's see, what was Houston for? Yep, Houston's first drive, 14 plays, 62 yards. Like, when all of a sudden, it's like, okay, here's a third down. Like, okay, Texans get their first, you know, 3rd and 3 at the Houston 20. They convert. Okay, fine, whatever. Then they got, okay, now they're completing passes. They're moving the ball down the field. They're now got a 2nd and 12 at the Tennessee 40. Okay, here you go. 2nd and 12 at the Tennessee 40. That's when you make a stop, right? Tyrod Taylor to Brown for 8 yards. No, excuse me. Tyrod Taylor to Conley for 12 yards first down. And that's where you know. It's like, oh, God. Oh, God, these guys didn't show up to play, and they're injured, and now Houston's got a little bit of momentum, and then Tannehill throws the boneheaded interception. And those boys weren't ready to play, and it's on the coach. You know, we took so many calls last week about, give Vrabel credit, they keep finding a way, they keep finding, and here we are in a game of this magnitude, and again, they're not ready to play.
And they could not shut down Tyrod Taylor. I mean, you got to just keep him in the pocket or else he's going to move. You put pressure on him, he's going to move. And the fact that the Titans were able to shut down one of the more mobile quarterbacks in the league in Patrick Mahomes, and you can't shut down Tyrod Taylor, you let him run all over you?
Patrick Mahomes is probably shutting down Patrick Mahomes at that point. And there may be some credence to the idea that Kansas City might be a little back, but I hear what you say, because when you say things like you can't shut down Tyrod Taylor, that is a problem. Mm-hmm. Like, Tyrod Taylor is a backup quarterback. And that's what the Titans are dealing with. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're to your phones. And this is the question. How much blame does Vrabel deserve for yesterday's loss? And is Vrabel getting enough? And is everybody, what do we think of it? 615-737-1025. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Hiller is giving away cash for the holidays. My guy, everybody likes cash for the holidays, right? Hiller is giving away cash for the holidays. We are celebrating from now until the end of the year with special deals. Hiller wants to make sure every child experiences the joy of Christmas this year, so they're donating $50 in toys for tots for every tankless water heater purchase. And they're giving away a $250 Visa gift card with each unit. Get a $500 Visa gift card when you buy select new HVAC systems, or get a $500 Visa gift card with the purchase of any new whole home generator. More specials are online at happyhiller.com. As always, happy you'll be here. The service is free, and these deals are only available today. So schedule before the end of the, they're only available to the end of the year. So schedule today. Let me say this. There's going to be shortages on generators and things like that. So if you're thinking about getting a generator anyways, just do it and then get the Visa gift card and pay for all your holiday stuff. And at least you kill two birds with one stone. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, Vanderbilt, and they take great care of my house. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
Beat a lot of really good teams during the 6-game winning streak. I know you'd be complimentary of the Jets and the.
What's the question, dude?
The Jets and the Texans have not beaten a lot of good football teams. Why are they?
We got beat today. We turned the ball over 5 times. You know what I mean? It's like you guys don't. You know, you guys all cover this league. You know, you do. If you don't play well in this league, I don't care who it is. You turn the ball over in this league, you're going to lose. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody believes that. But when you do that, it doesn't matter what the record is. We had 5 turnovers. They had 0. Right? You're going to lose the game 99% of the time.
I mean, he's not wrong. But the question then has to be, why are you turning the ball over against the Texans? Like, why did you turn over 4 interceptions and then you wonder why they weren't ready to play? Because it felt to me like they weren't ready to play. Now, we have not really gone in depth on this, which we will at some point today. And I'm not an excuse maker around here. Mm-hmm. The injuries are a factor. I mean, yeah. They are running out a bunch of, like, I don't want to say losers, but they are running That's out mean. A bunch of guys that don't belong in the NFL.
I mean, Des Fitzpatrick would not have been in that game if it were not for injuries.
I mean, the best player on the team yesterday probably doesn't belong in the game. Like, that's where they were. And I'm talking about Hilliard. I mean, mm-hmm. I thought Hilliard might have been the best player on the field for the Titans yesterday. And I'm not sure Hilliard is like an NFL player.
And Nick Westbrook-Ikhina had himself a solid day. But the fact that those are the two guys that we are pointing out as having good days, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina and Hilliard.
Yeah, that's not a...
And that's not a knock on them at all because they produced. They produced when nobody else would.
Let's go to your phones as promised. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John, kick us off. Thank you for calling. And you go ahead, John.
Absolutely. Always thanks for taking my call. Long time listener. I usually am right on board with you on that. I got to disagree with you today. Vrabel shouldn't have to get you up for the Texans, although, yes, it is the coach's job. We own the Texans the past 3 or 4 years. On another note, Vrabel didn't throw four picks, and I'm a huge Tannehill advocate. None of the four picks were like the receivers. Like, they were all bad throws, every single one of them. We were down bad before the weather came in. I was at the game. Before the weather came, we were already struggling. And I just think that I don't really know how much blame Vrabel should get. The defense played well. We had huge stops when we needed them. Even at the beginning of the game when Tannehill threw that pick, it gets returned all the way down within the red zone. We hold them to three. Hold them to three on the next possession if they get in the red zone. I thought the defense played well. I don't know how much I would put on Vrabel today, my man. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you for your call, John. Okay, so this is an exercise I want to do for the next segment. I want the three of us. You're familiar with the concept of Final Jeopardy?
I am, yes.
So they ask the question, and then they write it down, and then they go each one?
Mm-hmm.
I want us to all put together a blame pie for the next segment. What percentage of your blame pie is Tannehill? What percentage of your blame pie is injuries?
Mm-hmm.
And what percentage of your blame pie is Vrabel? Are those the three places that it is fair to blame? Or do we need to add anything else to the list?
I think that's fair.
Ian?
Does weather play a part?
Sure. So everybody, all the three of us in the next segment will have a blame pie.
Okay.
So, and we are not to communicate with any of the other three about the blame pie. So we'll all have our independent blame pie. Because I do agree with the call. Like, I blame Tannehill more for yesterday than I blame Vrabel. I'm just asking the question if Vrabel deserves some blame, and I think the answer is yes. I don't think this is a, well, you know, Vrabel didn't throw the four picks. Well, Vrabel sent Tannehill back out there with 9 seconds to go in the half down 9-0 or 12-0 or whatever it was. He sent Tannehill back out there, which was stupid. So that's on Vrabel. Now, Tannehill's taking an intentional grounding.
That's on Tannehill.
I thought when Jeff Fisher got up there yesterday, and if you were watching on TV, you probably didn't hear this, but Jeff Fisher gets up there and goes, that was not intentional grounding, and now I can say it, but that was terrible, and we got to... And I'm thinking, oh, no, I'm going to have all these people call in tomorrow and be like, well, Jeff Fisher said it wasn't grounding, and it's like, okay, Jeff Fisher's trying to rile up the crowd. You'll be surprised, people, to know, and it worked on us for about 15 or so years. Jeff Fisher, from time to time, says things to get people happy with him. This would not be the first nor the last time, I guess, that would happen from Jeff Fisher. But, I mean, I just thought it was so dumb to send Tannehill back out. I thought that was so... When I saw them on the field, I'm like, why?
Just kick a field goal.
Like, why? Like, what's the... Like, what am I missing here? What am I... Like, 9 seconds, no timeout.
Mm-hmm.
Tannehill's like, what are you... Like, do you think you're going to get a shot to the end zone? And then when I saw it didn't work, I thought, these guys... And this goes back to the blame. I'm mad at Vrabel for doing it, and I'm mad at Tannehill for taking a grounding call. You've been in the NFL for 10 freaking years, and you take an intentional grounding with 9 seconds to go and no timeouts? Oh, my God.
Hypothetical question.
Ugh.
The Titans have a fully healthy offense. They have AJ, they have Julio, they have Derrick Henry. Do you send Ryan Tannehill out there with 9 seconds to go in
no.
the second quarter?
No.
Okay.
No. Oh, my goodness. The only time I might do it is if they didn't have a kicker. And even then, I might say, Ben Jones, give it a try. Let's go.
You're a kicker today.
Let's go to Keith, who's up next. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Keith.
I tell you, I'm not much on the blame game, but I know who to blame. for the Predators and the Titans both losing. That's Jared Spielman.
Okay.
Jared Spielman, Friday. What was it you said Friday, Jared? Oh, well, I'm not even going to talk about these two games because the other team sucks.
We did not say that about the Predators. Hold on. Well, no. We did not say that about the Predators in Montreal.
Yeah, go back and listen.
No, anyway, we did not.
I want you to dog the Titans this week and guarantee that New England's going to win Sunday.
Keith, guess what? I have not even thought about the Patriot game. I'd probably say get used to about 20 minutes. Get ready for 16, 17 more hours of that, baby, because I got a feeling that's probably coming this week.
All right. Well, I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Keith. Okay. I will say this. We did say at the start of Friday's show, where's he getting this? We
never said that about the Predators.
What are we talking about? I'm not sitting here to say, like we didn't even talk about the Predators. But that game was Saturday. And we had Floyd Reese Day on Friday. And I thought that this team was good enough, the Titan team was good enough and mature enough to go out there and not turn the ball over five times. You know what? I was wrong.
Yeah, maybe it is your fault.
He was right.
Why did you do that?
He was right.
Not cool of you.
In fairness, you did the same thing.
I did. Mm-hmm. But he didn't blame me.
But I was banking on this team to not ruin Floyd's day. And they didn't. Honestly, it was a good day.
You couldn't ruin that day.
No, it was pretty special. But it would have been nice if they had won. It would have been nice.
For many reasons.
It's kind of like
including
homecoming.
It being Floyd Day.
It's like I played basketball in high school,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't have a football team, so homecoming was basketball.
Uh-huh.
And like we sometimes lost the homecoming game. Now, sometimes we schedule teams we should have never scheduled on homecoming, which I, will never understand that. But we lost on homecoming once. And it didn't bother me for the dance the next day. So it's kind of the same here. But, my goodness gracious. We thought, hey, can we trust the guys? Ah, you know what? Let's see if we can trust. Okay, we know. David on Tyrod Taylor, thank you for calling. Go ahead, David.
Hello?
Go ahead, David.
Yeah. I was watching that game pretty intensely yesterday. And okay. Both times Tyrod Taylor took off running for touchdowns, it was a blown-up play from the get-go. The play was blown up at the start. And he goes to run left. Simmons is being held, so he couldn't get there because he's seen where he was going. But both times he got held and nobody said anything. And I want to know, when are the refs going to stand up at the end of the game and answer for some of these horrendous calls? Because
so,
I'm with Fisher.
The answer?
That was not intentional grounding.
The answer to your question, David, and I appreciate your call. The answer to your question is never. When are the officials going to get up, put their hands in the air, and say that we made bad calls and we shouldn't have made bad calls and so we're sorry and we screwed? Never. I forget who the ref was. In the Saints-Rams game, I want to say it was Cleet Blakeman, but I'm not sure if that's... No, Blakeman did the other game, where he also screwed up too. Maybe it was Bill Vinovich? I can't remember. But that Saints-Rams-NFC game that they screwed up?
Blatantly blown call.
In that game, I'm just telling you, I felt like, in my heart, I felt that... you're never going to hear them ever. You're never going to hear them say, hey, we screwed up. So yep. That's the answer to that. The second thing, did any of you guys think that the Tyrod Taylor touchdowns were not kosher?
I never felt that way.
Ian?
No. I may have missed it.
I thought they were fine.
Yeah, I didn't see anything where I was like, oh, my God. And honestly, that's what it would require for you to call in and complain about it on the show. It'd have to be an, oh, my God, how did you... That is now the new standard for complaining about officiating, is either not resetting the clock right, or in, oh my God, you're going to call that roughing the passer on Aaron Donald? That is the issue with officiating. Vrabel bitched about the officiating yesterday. I didn't think the officiating was all that bad. I've seen a lot worse, especially lately.
I don't think there was anything that made me stand up and say that was absolutely atrocious, but that may be because I've been comparing it to so many of these other games that have just had atrocious officiating, the Saints game for being one of them.
Guess what you're getting in the playoffs?
Jerome Boger?
No. You're getting everybody but him, but you're getting the same officiating.
Yeah.
I mean, you're getting the same stuff. So, like, Tony Corrente, who got just chucked under the bus for how bad he officiated that Monday Night Football game a couple of weeks ago. Tony Corrente's reffing in the playoffs. Like, I just want everybody to know that. He's reffing in the playoffs. Bill Vinovich, who I think does a pretty terrible job sometimes, he's reffing in the playoffs. Now, John Hussey is a good ref, and he'll ref in the playoffs too. But ultimately, these officials, I mean, they're going to ref in the playoffs. 615-737-1025. We're back to your phones, but we will do the blame pie. So all three of us will come up with, like, what percentage of the blame people should get for the Titans losing on Sunday, and then we will all discuss our blame pies, and then we will take your phones, and we'll do that next. Stillman and Company on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Semaglutide. There are a lot of people, and I know, because when I was in high school, I was like 250, 270 pounds, and I know how hard it can be to lose weight. If you're somebody who just has a normal appetite and you've been skinny all your life, good for you. But if you are a big person and you cannot lose weight, semaglutide may be the answer to your prayers. And it is exclusively carried at Invigorate Health. Invigorate Health online at InvigorateHealthTN.com. I have talked to primary care doctors, including my own, before I told you all about how much I believe in semaglutide, because I needed to know, hey, is this a safe drug? And they said, yes, it is safe, and they have been prescribing it for years to diabetics. So this is nothing new. It is not a new drug, but it has been newly approved for chronic weight loss by the FDA. Again, it's semaglutide, and it is only carried exclusively at Invigorate Health online at InvigorateHealthTN.com. Here's what semaglutide basically does. It makes you less hungry. So when you're sitting there throughout the day and you mindlessly snack or things of that magnitude, it helps curb that. It also helps train you so that over time you realize what real portion sizes should be. And this is the key. I'm telling you, this could be a breakthrough. Men's Health Magazine saying, quote, semaglutide can help people lose weight, improving weight-related health issues, and ideally gain more healthy years of life. In fact, their article said the best and worst new ways to lose weight, and the top best new way, according to Abby Langer, RD, in Men's Health Magazine, was semaglutide was the number one option there. So it's carried exclusively at Invigorate Health, Invigorate Health online at InvigorateHealthTN.com.
Looked like a couple of the picks today, throws to Dez. I know you guys haven't had a lot of time together. Was that a situation maybe where there are some miscommunications on those, some routes that were different?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the details of everything. At the end of the day, it all falls squarely upon me, and I have to be better.
There you go. Tannehill says it all falls on me. So if he was doing a blame pie, it would be 100% Tannehill. Maybe. Live from Bridgestone Arena. Okay, blame pie, and then we're to your phones. Caroline Fenton, what is your blame pie for the Titans' loss to the Texans? Which, let me state for the record, we discussed this during the last break, we haven't spent enough time discussing how inexcusable it is to lose to the Texans, I mean, which it should be stated for the record.
When it comes down to it, the root of it all, I mean, if the Titans lose to, I mean, the loss to the Arizona Cardinals, yes, it was frustrating, and yes, it was a little embarrassing, but then we went on to learn that the Arizona Cardinals were a legit contender, but losing to the Texans, come on. My blame pie currently sits 40% at Tannehill. It's inexcusable to throw four interceptions. So he gets a majority of my blame.
I'm surprised that a majority is 40%.
Well, more blame than anything else that I'm putting blame on, but I'm putting 30% of it on Vrabel. It's, yes, exactly. 30% of it is Vrabel, because I think that there were some calls that he made that were a bit questionable. And I know we brought it up before, but I do want to emphasize the fact that Mike Vrabel just cannot get these guys ready for games that they're supposed to win. I mean, the fact that two of the Titans' three losses are to the Jets and to the Texans, I feel like part of that has to fall on Mike Vrabel. 20% to injuries, because to TD's point, Tannehill's not working with much. And when you're a quarterback in the NFL, when you make $30 million a year, you need to be making better decisions. But I have to think that if there was a fully healthy personnel out there, Tannehill wouldn't be making those mistakes, because Des Fitzpatrick would not be out there to run the wrong routes and 10% to the rain. Because I think there's a little bit of blame in that you're not playing 100%, but I'm not going to put a lot of stake in the rain because this is the NFL. And you
all right, give me the rundown of that again.
40% Tannehill, 30% Vrabel, 20% injuries, 10% rain.
Ian?
I also went 40% Tannehill.
You guys are soft.
40% injuries.
Wow.
40.
15% Vrabel, 5% rain.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
I went 60% Tannehill. Four interceptions against that team?
Four interceptions. It's atrocious. It's inexcusable.
And not only that, this is a lifetime achievement award for Tannehill, because he's been doing this for a little bit. Like this, I don't know about you, I'm not surprised.
You're not surprised.
The one that he threw to A.J. Brown,
unfortunately, that was not surprising.
Every week for the last 5 weeks.
That was
Why
not
would that
surprising.
Surprise me now? 25% Vrabel.
Okay.
9% injuries.
Ew, 9?
It's the Texans.
I know, but like 9's like a gross number.
5% on Chester Rogers. What was he doing?
Yeah,
like seriously, what was he doing? Like I'm watching this play on the Jumbotron on the replay, and I'm like, what were you thinking? Like just get away from the ball. Oh my God, it's like elementary level stuff here. It's like he's never returned a punt in the NFL. It's embarrassing. So Chester Rogers gets 5% of it. Because I figure if I'm giving 60% to Tannehill for turning over the football, essentially five times, intentional grounding with him,
yeah.
Then I got to give blame to Chester Rogers for what he did, because that was stupid.
That was stupid.
1% to the ghost of Floyd Reese. Because I could hear him chuckling after we started the show on Friday saying, can we focus on Floyd's induction to the Ring of Honor and not worry about the Texans because they're the Texans? And I said on the air at the time that the GM would be saying, ha, ah, you have never won in the NFL. You don't know anything about the NFL and every team we're worried and ah, ha, ha, ha. You know, like he always used to. And so I'm up there with his family watching the game yesterday. And I'm hearing him saying, in my head, I'm hearing, I told you you couldn't get too excited. And I'm like, oh, no. So I'm putting 1% on the ghost of Floyd Reese.
That's not fair.
Well, Tannehill's 59% more.
Okay, that's okay.
So Tannehill 60, Vrabel 25, injuries 9, Chester Rogers 5, 1% Floyd. The ghost of Floyd Reese.
Way to go, Floyd.
Way to go. Now, here's the thing. He would have never wanted the Titans to lose, ever. You know, he would have never. But I definitely think he'd get some enjoyment out of me sitting there on Friday saying, oh, you know, the Texans. Because that's like, you know, if there's any lessons that you learn over the years working with somebody like that, it's that. You know, it's the, hey, don't ever get too cocky. Don't ever get too. And we definitely had our bouts with that over the years. Of them playing a Cleveland or a Cincinnati or a whatever, and they'd go out and lose, and it'd be like, I told you, the NFL, oh, I told you. And so I had like 5 years worth of lessons back in my head yesterday on his day, you know, of all the days. Let's go back to your phones. Ellie is up next here on Stillman & Company Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus, sparkling water with a spark. What's up, Ellie?
Hey, what's up? To be realistic, we should have lost by 30 points in all those turnovers. My biggest concern with the offense is Tannehill should have, Tannehill made the same interception against Indianapolis. That's what I could concern is the mistakes are being made over and over again. I mean, you just got to get it out of them. The offensive coordinator's got to stop it. And Taylor Lewan should not be running downfield 20 yards, jumping into the pile again. He keeps on doing it. He got a concussion like that. He'll get personal fouls like that. We got to learn from our mistakes. Watch the tape. Learn, and then put it to put the process in motion. And if we do that, we'll be fine. If not, we're going to go downhill. We're not going to win the playoffs because all you have to do is lose once in the playoffs and play a game like this, and we're done.
Ellie, I appreciate your call. Am I alone in saying one of my biggest frustrations right now with Tannehill is that it does seem like he's throwing the same interception every game?
That's the thing. Is it's, you know, and it's happening at least one a game. It's like he almost has to get it out of his system.
Right, you're a 10-year vet. You know better than that. The first time, okay. The eighth time, like the first Colts game, He threw the ball right over the middle. And remember, people were trying to say, well, Tommy Hudson and Jeremy McNichols ran to the wrong spot. He cocked the football down like, oh, can't throw that now. Ah, screw it. And threw it right to the guy. The second Colts game, he threw the ball right to the Colt linebacker standing there. The Chiefs game, I mean, he pooped his pants on a blitz and just threw it right over the line and the guy intercepted it. Linebacker standing right there. This game, linebacker standing right there. He's staring down A.J. Brown and he just throws it. First off, it was a bad throw. And secondly, he was staring down the receiver. Guy just jumped up. I mean, like, it's the same throw. It's the same throw in every game. He's staring somebody down, and he doesn't see the defensive player there. The safety from the Bills was standing right there. Like, that's frustrating for a 10-year vet making $30 million, a guy that you put your trust in. It's one thing when Des Fitzpatrick screws up. It's another thing when it's somebody that you trust.
Someone that you should trust.
Somebody that you've seen do it before. Somebody that's making a lot of money because they've done it for you, and they protected the ball. And this guy, I don't know. And I don't know what genius Arthur Smith must be to get Tannehill not to throw the ball right over the middle to a linebacker, but apparently Todd Downing can't get that out of him. And that is the frustrating part, in all seriousness, is to the caller's point, like, this does feel like he's got to get it out of his system. Oh, okay, that was the one right there. Like, this is the NFL. He's got 12 interceptions.
And we've had a few texts that come in, and I kind of wonder this too. Why doesn't Tannehill turn to his legs more often? Quick.
I mean,
why doesn't he run the ball?
I don't want to put that on Tannehill. Like, I don't want to say, okay, you know, now you got to go out there and play like you're trying to be Lamar Jackson. Or
I'm not saying he's got to be Lamar Jackson.
One of those kind of guys.
I'm not saying he's got to be Lamar Jackson. I'm not saying that he's got to run the ball on every single play. But I mean, did he run the ball at all yesterday?
He did on one of those fourth downs where he ended up getting it.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you. I just think the fear of getting him killed running the football.
That is a fair point. His team is already just massacred.
A valid one. And I think some of the faking they do with the RPOs, it's not really as valid when Derrick Henry's not in there. Now, they ran him a little bit against the Rams, and it worked. But I don't think you can do that more often. I think Tannehill's got to run naturally. And then I don't know about the footing yesterday or anything like that. I do know that I wouldn't feel comfortable going to a guy who is decent when it comes to off-script running and saying, hey, I want you to off-script run more. I wouldn't feel comfortable telling Tannehill to do that. We're to your phones next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Tune in tomorrow night as 3-seed Nashville SC takes on 6-seed Orlando SC in the first round of the Audi MLS playoffs at Nissan Stadium. Pre-game 6:45. The match begins at 7. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 the game. Stillman & Company, Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, live from Bridgestone Arena. Get to your phones in just a second, but I have to tell people about something that I should have already pulled up on my email, and I didn't pull it up yet, so now I am going to my email to pull it up. I do have a
key mistake.
I do. Oh, thank you. I do have an epic, I mean epic, Floyd story to tell later today in the show. And it was one of these ones where At first, I was mad at him, then I was mad at me. But I'll explain. Gold Friday is on a game day this week for the Nashville Predators. This year, Gold Friday falls on a game day, which means fans can take advantage of deals online or in person, which range from discounted tickets to discounted Bridgestone Arena event tickets, discounted merch, Preds ticket pack deals, and more. And don't forget to come to Bridgestone Arena as the Predators take on the New Jersey Devils for an in-game Gold Friday giveaways, happy hour at Pete and Terry's Tavern, and more. Gold Friday deals are available for season ticket citizens starting today, Monday, November 22nd, using the username and password in the Preds email, and the general public starting on Wednesday. So that's Gold Friday. To your phones we go. Tommy has been waiting patiently on the wide receivers. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Tommy.
Hey, yeah, I'm just curious. I know Ryan Tannehill threw two Miami bonehead passes and turn into interceptions, but I'm wondering if some of these other ones ain't from him being used to these young receivers. If he's used to maybe his number ones doing something particular at a certain point that these new guys ain't doing.
So I appreciate your call, Tommy. I think that's totally part of it. I mean, there's no doubt that if Tannehill had the good guys out there, he probably doesn't throw four interceptions yesterday.
I think he throws that first one no matter who's in the game.
Well, remember who he was throwing it to.
To AJ.
So I mean, like, here's the thing. Tannehill played a flawless game against the Kansas City Chiefs, except he threw one ball right over the middle, right to the linebacker. So I don't think Tannehill throws four interceptions yesterday against the Texans if he's got the good guys out there. The problem is this is the NFL, and you still have to find a way to win even when the good guys aren't out there. Life is not built on sitting back and saying, well, and I know some people, you know, lose and they say that they won when they really didn't win, and everybody knows that they didn't win, but then they convince people that they didn't win and they say that they didn't win. They say that they won when they didn't win, but I don't live my life like that. So winning to me is pretty defined. Either you won or you lost. I don't look back at some of these old games and think, well, you know, the Predators didn't have Ryan Johansson or Kevin Fiala in the Stanley Cup final in 2017, so give them the cup and take it away from Pittsburgh. That's not how this works. The Titans played the Ravens in a playoff game in 2003. And the Ravens that year, I can't remember who their... I know they had Kyle Bowler, was like a young guy they had drafted in the first round, and he never made it, and he got hurt. But then they had another quarterback. I can't remember who it is. Like, maybe Elvis Gerback? I can't totally... Let me see. Who were their quarterbacks were that year? Chris Redmond. That's right. They had Chris Redmond, and he played a little bit. And then Kyle Bowler got hurt. And at the end of the year, they had to go to Anthony Wright, who was a journeyman backup, and he was their starting quarterback. And so the Titans got into a playoff game where the Ravens had a 2,000-yard rusher in Jamal Lewis and a backup Anthony Wright, who the Titans had obliterated 3 years prior on Christmas Day when he was with the Cowboys. I mean, this guy was terrible. And they're playing this team in the playoffs. And I didn't feel bad for the fact that the Ravens had a quarterback who sucked. I don't feel bad. And that's what the Texans do not feel bad that Dez Fitzpatrick didn't run his routes right. And so I think, like, okay, if the other guys aren't going to feel bad and the other guys aren't going to take it back, then don't you have to look at yourself in the mirror? And that's why I only gave injuries 9%. Two reasons. One, we can't sit here and make excuses on injuries. Everybody else will do that for you. We can't. The second part of it is it's the Texans. So even if you are hurt, that's not, that Texan team right now is so bad. They're undergoing a rebuild that they weren't ready for. Like, let's say the Titans decided they wanted to rebuild. Let's say the Titans said, okay, we're going for it this year. We're going for it next year. After that, we're blowing it up. Well, you can prepare for that because you can say, okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to trade AJ Brown. So now you're going to get a bunch of picks in the future. And you're going for it this year, and AJ's last year, but you have the option to franchise tag him, so you can essentially sign AJ to something, or you can do something, and then turn around and trade AJ. It's not the nicest thing in the world to do, but if you were preparing to blow it up after next year, you could. Now, it's harder because of the deal you reworked with Tannehill, which was essentially an extension. It's harder to do that, but you could. Because if you traded Tannehill, if you put Tannehill on the market, somebody give you a third-round pick for him, and say,
if
okay.
If not more. A starting quarterback?
At that kind of salary?
That is a very high salary.
Jared Goff just cost 3 first-round picks to get rid of. Like, that's, you know, and Jared Goff's younger.
Yeah. So, he has a huge salary.
And so, like, I think that you probably would get a third-round pick for Tannehill. Maybe a third, maybe. Like, if you were to take on more. Because any team that acquires him is giving up a pick and taking on the cap. So, and now I don't know how that would work with all the signing bonuses that you've given him over the last couple of years. And honestly, it may be more feasible to trade him for another team and then you take the dead hit. But you could, after next year, trade away Tannehill, trade away A.J. Brown, trade away Simmons, trade away, I mean, and you could load up, which is what the Dolphins did a couple years ago. Traded away Tunsil, trade away Minka Fitzpatrick, traded away all these guys. So you could do that. The Texans are in a rebuild because they let their moronic coach, who's never worked a day in personnel in his life, run the organization into the ground. The guy's never scouted players before. He has never drafted players before. He has never worked with a cap. He commandeered the entire personnel department when he doesn't have any idea, like, what he's doing. And so now it's all blown up. The quarterback doesn't want to be there. So he's deactivated every game when you're paying him $40 million a year. I mean, it's a mess. They have no picks. They have no cap space. They have no guys to trade to get them picks. The one guy they have to trade that can help them start a rebuild is facing like 22 sexual misconduct allegations. It's a mess. And you still lost to
him. I mean, the Texans are an absolute mess. And I said on Friday that I think that they have the worst roster in the NFL. And I still would probably re-up that statement again because they don't have a very good roster. And like the next 5 to 10 years of the Texans franchise probably doesn't look very bright. But I know that it's the Texans, but it also is the NFL. And if you give a team five extra opportunities to score, they're going to take it. Because at the end of the day, they are still NFL players.
Who's playing around with our lights in here?
I don't know. It's kind of nice, though.
Interesting. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll get back to your phones, as we always do, on a Reaction Monday and a Titan Monday. But I got to say this. There is one thing about the 2021 Tennessee Titans that I am not willing to do. I'm not willing to do it. Maybe you are. I don't know. By the way, did you hear Joe Rexroads subtweet at me during the Rex rant today?
No, I did not.
So Joe Rexroads Rex rant today was like, no, I'm not pointing to any one particular show or even one particular station or a market. But if you go on there and say, this show is the most critical or this show tells the truth the most, then you're just lying because you don't listen to all the shows. And so I texted Joe back and I said, thanks for the lecture from a guy who talks about bumper music on the air. But I will say this. Because Joe's thing was like, I don't know what all the other shows are talking about. I don't have time during the day to listen to all the other shows. And I'm thinking, Joe, you know good well that I listen to every show in this city.
Yeah, that is true.
There is nobody who listens to more talk radio than me.
I do have to say, you use the bumper music argument every time you fight with Joe.
Because it's ridiculous. I'm getting a radio lesson from somebody who's not as good as me who's sitting there talking about bumper music.
I'm not saying he is or isn't. All I'm saying is you use the bumper music argument a lot.
Because it's terrible. Like, I am embarrassed now to be talking about bumper music, about them talking about bumper music.
Yeah, you're going to get a text from Joe.
It is honestly like nails on a chalkboard to me when any radio host in any city, in any market starts talking about the music coming back from break. I am like, dude, that is so embarrassing. Like, do your job. Like, do your job. This is not...
You're not a DJ.
This is right. This is not like, Rockin' Randy's rolling hits, 99.3, the big old fish. Like,
music station.
This is not what it is. Like, dude, nobody listens to Colin Cowherd to hear what the bumper music coming in is going to be. It gets me all riled up. But so anywho, I just, you know, Joe is sitting there like essentially criticizing me for saying that I can't listen to all the other shows. When everybody knows that nobody listens to more talk radio than me. I have less of a life than everybody else, and everybody knows it. Fair?
Fair.
There you go. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.